From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude. Just make sure to get a bunch of spill, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Got this gray cloud right above us. Hopefully we don't get rained out.
It's going to
check the weather.
Oh, it's raining.
Well, hey, welcome to the Thursday, June 25th episode. Top of the Thursday to you. We are finally recording in an in-person setting.
In person. We are socially distanced.
Distanced.
Not quarantined.
In the beer garden.
In the beer garden.
We're coming out of quarantine.
Up on the stage, you might be able to hear some birds or beers, one of the two, chirping.
I heard some beers chirping there a moment ago. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is Adam.
That's Adam. And we got on the podcast this week also Tony Cipriani.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
And brewer Chris Helderman.
Hello.
And I am Mark Richards. This week's episode is Let Me Squeeze Past You, Lime Lager.
Midwest Lime Lager.
A Midwest Lime Lager for a Midwest saying. Now, who came up with that idea other than the video on YouTube?
So, Walt had the idea of naming the beer Ope, and I thought that would maybe be a little, people might be like, Ope? What's Ope? And then I was like, well, something that if you're not really aware of it, you don't realize how much you may be saying this. And I am now very self-aware of how many times I'm like, especially when we used to be crowded in the tap room, I'd be like,
pardon me.
Let me squeeze right past you there, like trying to get to the water or something like that. And now you'll notice if you're we did a little more research into it, and it seems like it is a saying across the Midwest, very popular up in the Wisconsin, the Ubers, Minnesota, Michigan, I imagine Indiana, and I don't know how far west, but yeah.
In Ohio, everyone says it here.
Yeah. I'm from Indiana, and that is one of my most used phrases is,
I'm from Pennsylvania, and I don't know if I picked it up here. I think I have always said it. I don't know. And sometimes I say it, and you just feel weird sometimes when you say it and you catch yourself. You're like, I sound kind of stupid, but I just was like, instead of saying like, excuse me or pardon me, I always, they make like that weird noise. I don't know. But obviously other people do it.
It's the old like Midwest nice thing where you want people to know that you really didn't mean to.
So that's
true. Like it was a mistake. You could have actually just ran into this person.
There's also, that as we were doing this, there's a good series of videos from a couple guys. I think it's called You Betcha. They do an Ope off. There's a whole series. They do a whole video on Midwestern Nice.
Oh, You Betcha.
Yeah, they're funny.
Oh, You Betcha. No,
it's actually a good channel.
I don't know if it's the same, but I'm not on it. But my wife has recently got a TikTok obsession. And there's a guy on TikTok. And like that's all he does is like videos pertaining to Ope.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that You Betcha guy, that he's also part of the Dads of Target video, or Husbands of Target video, which is hilarious if you haven't seen it.
Nice. I have not. I'll check it out.
Well.
Are you on there?
No.
Okay.
So it turned out, I think Dan has mentioned it previously on Beers with the Brewers, that his favorite labels, Walt, does have the different characters. We had the Got Fuzz, is that the milk carton?
Yeah.
Yep.
We also have the Pina Pants guy. there's a hop guy that does that's on the DJ for the music series.
Dank Jams.
That's right.
Yep. And then now this little lime flying his Midwestern pennant and drinking a can. And he's in a crowd of other limes, and he's saying ope as he's squeezing past all the other limes.
This might be one of my favorite labels.
Yeah, this little cartoon lime is cute as a button.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's perfect.
So if you have been to the beer garden or have been ordering online the past couple weeks, you might have got the pilot batch of this lime lager. I think in tasting it that on the larger system, I think it crisped up a lot nicer. The pilot was very good and refreshing, but this, as we'll get into it more, I think is a lot more crushable. But let's not talk about that right yet.
Oh, yeah. Crisp, light, lime, and sweet, this one. Taco and chili pairings. Yeah. Well, hey, I didn't write the notes. I just copied them.
Got a little bit of
sweetness. A little sweetness. I'd actually consider kind of a little bit of a drier finish, though.
Yeah. I get there's some sweetness, but then it finishes dry.
I get some like salty, like a little, like, almost like, I don't know. That's what I'm getting. Like almost saltiness. Like on the rim of a glass, like if you're doing like a, I don't know. I like it, though.
Yeah.
God, this is just full of lead-ins.
Taco and chili. We got lime pastor tacos, but this would go with absolutely any Mexican dish. Some guacamole and chips. I could just eat a whole bowl of guacamole with this.
It's guacamole chili if you have the whole bowl.
Sure. Yeah, I guess it's like a chili. It's a viscous, depending on how you make your guacamole.
That's our only definition of chili now. Is it just like viscous
stuff in there? Does it come in a bowl? Yeah. Chili.
All right. Well, since Walt's out, Beer Garden events, thank you to everyone that came down for the Pride event we had this past Saturday. We raised over $2,500 for Stonewall Columbus and Blackout and Proud. Also, it supported the musicians that played throughout the day. Maybe you tuned in on Instagram Live if you weren't able to come down here. And again, thanks to everyone that donated. You also got to see the debut of the Jumbotron. About 3 months after the original planned, we were planning on having its grand debut for the first round and beyond of March Madness.
Oof.
We found out... Three days prior, we were going to shut down. So it took us a bit. So maybe you've seen it just sitting there in the beer garden. And then for how great that went, our first kind of official outside of that Pride event is going to be the return of the Beer Garden film series. So starting next Wednesday, July 1st, we're going to do some summer blockbusters to start out. We're going to start out with Jurassic Park. Different than last year. If you came down last year, we had the projector, so we couldn't start movies in July till about 9 p.m. So those longer movies, you were maybe here till midnight. And now the screen is completely visible in the bright of day. So we're going to start seating at 7. Probably the movie gets started around 7:30. And also different, since we all need to socially distance and you have to be in a table to consume alcohol, or I guess seated. We are going to be pre-selling tables. It also helps cover the costs on the movies, as it really does help us bring people down here to do these kind of fun events, which is different this year. But I think there's about 30-odd tables that we have. There are 10 of our beer garden tables that are right down the center that have a great unobstructed view. We're calling them the Town Street booths, those bench seats along the fence on Town Street. Those seat up to 10 people, and a couple of them have really good views, but because of the way the trestling structure works, there are seats that have some obstructed views, so those are discounted. Pretty much we did about $5 a seat. You got to buy the whole table, so you can bring in the beer garden tables. They comfortably sit 6 for watching a movie. We have 2 tops and then a bunch of other 6 tops of the other high top tables in the beer garden and the lower beer garden tables. There are some that are listed as obstructed that actually have pretty good views. I took some pictures. We'll post those online, but going to try it out here with Jurassic Park. We'll probably throw in a Jaws or I wanted to play Independence Day. Thought it would have been perfect for next week given the holiday, but I believe that is now owned by the Disney Corporation in their acquisition of Marvel.
No.
So they don't they don't license those to bars and restaurants. So can't do Star Wars or any of the Marvel movies or anything like that. But a lot of other good ones. And looking forward to returning events here in the Beer Garden. We're still working out the music series. We think that should be starting up pretty soon, too, probably in July. So stay tuned for that. And I think we're working on some socially distanced trivia and other things that we can utilize in this beer garden. So thanks everyone who's come out so far. I think we may have hit our 2000th visitor year since we opened back up. We've been diligently working out in this beer garden here to try to provide more shade as it's getting hotter and hotter. We got about a dozen new umbrellas. Those Town Street booths are covered now, and added some shade sails over kind of the last open area. Put up a tent last week, so when it's hot, it won't be, I guess, as stifling as it's been in the beer garden of the past. You can find shade in most seats, and these nights down here have been fantastic. So,
yeah, well, it is summer, Adam. It's supposed to be warm this time of year, and maybe you get a Lemmy Squeeze Pass, yeah, Midwest Lager with Lime.
You should grab this when you come on down. Do note,
it'll cool you off.
The beer garden, if you haven't checked the website and just listen in, you can bring your dogs down now. Well behaved, must be leashed at all times, and please don't let them walk up to other customers because that kind of ruins social distancing. So, still 21 and over in the beer garden for the time being. So, unfortunately, don't have any kids' games and stuff.
It's three in dog years.
That's three in dog years. But you can bring your lap babies. Anyone that's kind of in a stroller, sit on your lap. If you've flown on an airplane with your child, you would know what those rules kind of follow in the same thing. So,
do the children have to be as well behaved as the dogs? No, is there still well behaved?
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to put a leash on.
Okay,
on the children.
So. That's good. Yeah, that's probably preferable.
Yes.
And in fact, yeah, don't put a leash on your kids.
We're not
saying you should do that.
And we're still utilizing the Landgrant.app web app. You don't have to download anything. You just order online as you would. That's if you're interested in attending the movie series, that's where you buy your tickets for the movies. And then that's also where you buy your beers, tip your bartenders while you're doing that. So look forward to having more stuff coming down. We will be having, once the sports things figure out what's going on, if they have it or not. Seems like a lot of people are getting COVID.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of inevitable with getting a lot of groups together. But yeah, July 6th, July 8th, something like that for MLS.
For MLS, and then the MLB yesterday.
July
finally,
24th.
Yeah, they finally. I feel like that's one of the one, besides like NASCAR and golf, that's like the one sport that could potentially, because everyone's kind of social distance on the baseball field, that actually might work a little bit. So
yeah, basketball will be tough.
Basketball, I mean, they're doing soccer, but I mean, yeah, those close contact sports, I feel like, are going to be really hard to figure out. But I don't know. I'm glad to see baseball back. Hopefully everybody stays safe. But
yeah,
I could watch it. I watched NASCAR the other day. I've never watched NASCAR.
Yeah, might as well.
I was rooting for Bubba Wallace. I got to be honest. I was like, go Bubba. Yeah, but if you're backing any sort of driver, I think it's a little bit more fun because then you have something to root for. But
in college, we all selected drivers, and because we watched pretty much every sport that was on TV. So I was Ryan Newman in the number 12 Altel car, Purdue grad, Purdue engineering. Mm-hmm. So he was in a horrific crash at Daytona earlier this year, but was okay. Walt, coincidentally, I'll speak for him. He had, it was the number 9. It was the DeWalt car. So,
DeWalt.
I forget who that guy was at this point. So, yeah, no, a couple guys went down to Bristol, which sounded like an absolute blast, down in Tennessee. So, but yeah, we showed the RBC Heritage, showed some golf out here in the beer garden. I know golf will keep going on, and then we will have more details. I don't think, Tony, do you know, have the MLS released the actual TV schedule yet?
I don't believe so. I do know when we talked to the crew, they were doing 9 o'clock games in the morning because it's in Orlando and they're kind of trying to figure out the whole heat situation down there. But 9 o'clock, and then I think 7:30 and 9:30 games. Mm-hmm. So there's three matches every day, I believe, but I don't know exactly.
So we'll open. I'm speaking for, we haven't confirmed, but I think I can make this call. We will be open at 9 a.m. for those matches for the crew if they're playing. Probably not for other teams, unfortunately. So we will have all those details. We'll probably end up doing table reservations for that, so you can ensure you have a spot to cheer on that black and yellow soccer team. So a lot of events this week, Mark. So after no events for months. So
we're back
and we can finally talk more about this beer, because I know we only brought a six pack out and there's four of us. So we're probably going to be fighting over these last two. after that long event. So, Chris, tell us about this beer.
So this beer, if those of you who are familiar with Land Grant, which if you're listening to the podcast, I'm guessing you are, it is the base of it is very, very near to Urban Sombrero. So yeah, we lightened that up a bit. As Adam alluded to earlier, there might be some corn in this. And then we swapped out the Gold Pils Vienna, which we like to use in a lot of our recipes for Best Vienna, to kind of give a lighter impression. And more like a quote-unquote modern Mexican lager and less like a Vienna lager. And typically, we would use our Quebec strain on this or possibly our other house lager strain that we use with Pool Party. However, this one was a little different. Our friends at CBC kind of helped us out. We were in a bit of a pinch with some yeast, and so we're actually using some CBC lager yeast. So thanks to our friends over there. So this would be considered a traditional lager with that lager yeast, and we ferment a little hotter than normal, and then slowly drop it down to kind of give it the traditional lager, but get it out a little quicker. Some of the flavors you should be getting. Where did that go? There we are. Some of the flavors you should be getting are, bready, crackery, lime, floral, and spicy. We use key lime juice as the source of lime. And, I think it turned out really well. Tony mentioned some, he might feel like he had a salted rim on the glass. That's because we added some salt.
There you go. How about that? I wasn't 100% sure, so there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, no, so we... We thought adding some salt to this would, kind of give it a little boost in the flavor realm, and I think we were right. It's all you're tasting in it is a little bit of malt character, some breadiness, and lime, and some salt. It's very, very refreshing. The alcohol is 5.5%, and the IBUs are 18. Hops was Liberty. And malts, Pilsner, Vienna, and flake corn.
Well, it's a delicious beer. We are drinking this out of the can, so can't give you kind of that visual on it, but you still do get a lot of that lime. I mean, it's you get a lot more lime on the air aroma. I think it's almost like you squeeze the lime right in there.
Just squeeze it right past you.
Yeah. It just, it was squeezed right past, right past that can opening. And, I think from that flavor we were talking earlier, you'd get a little bit of that sweetness, but maybe it's the salt or maybe it just kind of, it finishes nice and dry like you'd expect from a lager. So it's not, leaving that like a sugary sweetness on your back of your tongue, so it's very quenchable. It's very thirst quenching, I would say, but it's also very crushable.
Oh,
I guess as I'm almost done with my can, my question to everyone is:
how crushable is it?
Quarantine edition.
I still think until restrictions are totally lifted, we're still quarantine edition. I mean, a lot of people are still quarantining themselves. Talked to a couple regulars that have come by off hours just to talk and said that they're letting the younger folks come out and enjoy bars, and they'll come out at a later time and doing more driveway drinking, backyard drinking.
Yeah.
At a proper social distance. We celebrated a friend of the podcast, Brian Dwyer's big birthday Saturday night, big 1862 fan, so
he was nice.
Able to enjoy some 1862 on his birthday. So yeah, I think it is quarantine edition still. Tony.
Crushability factor, huh? I'm going to go 4.
Okay.
I could go higher, but I'm going to stick with 4. Trying to be responsible here.
It's a good call.
Chris, what do you think?
given that I'm going to be building a fence here in a couple weekends over July 4th, and after all the heavy machinery work is done, I'm probably going to down about six of these. I would say it's a six crusher.
Yeah, you run the saw in the morning, right?
Yeah, exactly. You run the saw and the auger in the morning, and then after you're done with that, you crack a few.
That's smart, and I don't, I don't really feel like it always has to be a quest for how many you can crush, but how crushable is it? So we definitely aren't persuading you, Tony, to have more than you would like alcohol-wise, but I'm a four crusher with you, and I have a reason, because I think I'm going to switch from the lime to the lemon, and I'm back to that lemon glow.
Oh, so good.
I'm just out. Yeah. Four and out.
Yeah, but what if you only had a six-pack of this?
Ooh. If I only had a six-pack of this, given good the catch, right circumstances.
Good catch.
Yeah, it's very drinkable.
Yeah, I thought this would be unanimous six crusher. I'm kind of surprised we're going to slide into a five
yeah. here. We're at a five. We're at a five.
I feel like Tony and Mark talked about this before. I was like, all right, we're both going to pick fours.
I feel like if we had a couple other people, this would have been easy. I didn't even think we had to ask the question. I mean, this is easy six, but hey, that's why we ask how crushable it is here. So,
well, and I'll be honest, I was... I'm not the always the biggest fans of putting lime in beer and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but for a certain extent, make what the people want, and I I like this beer. I'll say it.
Yeah, it's good.
I was crushed.
There goes mine. It looks like that makes it easy on who gets that extra one out here. It looks like Chris and I, while you guys are going to sit here and nurse that that first one. So, everyone who's listened to this podcast more than one time knows that Pool Party is my summer beer, but I have been sneaking a bunch of lemon glows in there, and I know I'm all out. We're all out here.
Yeah.
You might be able to find some out in the market still, but I've been told by several people they have bought up all the lemon glow when they see it at Kroger or Giant Eagle. So,
but is there good news?
I think it's being brewed again, right, Chris?
Yeah.
There's good news.
As long as we can get the ingredients, which I think we can.
Okay. But okay. I saw it out on tank planning a few weeks from now.
I think end of July is, tentatively it could happen.
I'll randomly pull a number out and say about a month.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
There you
go. So beginning end of July, early August. But if you're missing fruit slices, if you didn't stock up on that.
Ooh, another good one.
We got some more of that coming out in, next week?
Yep, next week. Excited about that.
And we canned up. Is this the last batch of Pool Party, or we got one more?
We got one more.
One more next week, right?
And we canning up some Pool Party. So that's more of that will be consumed. But so we're at a five. So there'll be one left over for your next morning. You can have it with your Huevos Rancheros,
or give it to Adam.
Start the day off. I don't want seven. It's a six crusher. I'm not quarantining seven.
I'm with Adam.
Seven.
Huevos Rancheros in the morning with this. That's fantastic.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ray Race, what would you have at Ray Race with this?
Huh. Anything.
Jerk chicken probably be
that's
delicious.
That's what I was thinking, jerk chicken.
Oh, yeah. We don't have Walt here to say jerk chicken, so... Jerk chicken it is.
You could probably do most things with it. It's got that lime to cut through a lot of the fat.
Delicious. The hot link would be real good with this too.
Yeah. I think anything.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole menu.
Whole thing. Wings. Oh, yeah. Wings and some let me squeeze past you.
Yeah. If you want the whole thing, do the meat sweats box.
Yeah.
Just have it.
Just get the whole
box. The wings. Yeah.
There you go. That's what it is. Box and a six pack. Meat sweats and a six pack of this. That's a day right there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think we do have a question from a listener this week. Let's go check
that out. Is it Newman?
It could be.
All right. All right. All right. You go ahead. You go ahead. You keep it secret. But you remember this. When you control the mail, you control information.
Well, we got a good friend, Jeff Pelletier. Good friend of the podcast, good friend of the brewery. Go ahead, Mark, why don't you read old Jeff's question.
All right, and Jeff sounds like this. Hello, friends. First, thanks for all you've done the past few months to keep good beer flowing and for continuing to produce the podcast remotely. You've helped bring some consistency to my world, and I appreciate it. I was excited to see 1862 Ale back in production. It's long been one of my favorites of yours, and it got me wondering what beers you would want to bring back as a lost favorite, either something in the Land-Grant archives or even another brewery if you like. I look forward to hearing your response while getting a run on the Olentangy Trail. Cheers, Jeff. Well, thanks, Jeff, for the question.
Let's start with Chris. I think I know his answer. Let's see if
I
guess correctly.
There's two.
Oh.
Everyone can probably guess my first one.
Franklin Pub Ale.
I got Franklin two. Pub Ale. Boom.
Franklin Pub Ale.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. No. And yeah, so Franklin Pub Ale. And I've heard from a few other people that they'd like to bring that one back as well. So we'll keep working on that for the fans that liked it. And then my other one is Sundrip. Really like that beer.
Oh,
nice.
We did talk about, you guys were talking about bringing that beer back.
Yeah, that might be happening.
Yep.
Actually, I think your first one might be happening too.
I think they are both in talks.
It pays to be the brewer so that you can bring these back.
I'm trying to keep my emotions kind of low here because I was pretty excited when we were at that conversation.
All right. What about you, Tony?
To be honest, and I think it may be because I saw...
The rest of us has been lying this whole time.
Yeah. I think because I saw it on Untappd. We did a cool collaboration beer with Pedicolis Brewing. It's called Match Day. And I really liked that beer. I thought that was really well done. Pale ale. And I think maybe they have actually brewed it again. But it was a very good beer. And I really liked that one. And I'd say my second one would be Concentrate. We've not done it at the brewery in a while. Couple months, but again, that's like Chris's too. That will make a comeback at some point, and that gets me really excited. So I'd say Match Day and Concentrate. I could probably throw a couple other in there too, like Glory, but I'll stick with those two.
It was like ominous. The wind came through. We don't have windscreens outside.
Outdoor podcast is good.
We got rid of the windscreens and the mics for they were covered in COVID, I think.
Yeah, those COVID collectors, you don't need those around. They were not probably covered in COVID.
They haven't been used in 3 months.
Didn't seem like those should still be on.
Yeah. So, Adam, what were your two? Or one, I guess. Yeah. I guess it was one, but then we've all picked two.
We've all done more than one.
Yeah, overachievers.
What do you got? You got two, Adam?
So, I think one of the early beers and... You know, I am a big fan of Belgian beers, and you know, I really like when Spring Quarter comes back every year. But the old Judas Priest series, we're missing one in that series.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Be nice to finish that series out. Yeah.
Adam sold it to Bodega before it could get a name.
No, that was the
Hibiscus one.
That was gonna get a name. Yeah, the old Hibiscus Saison. That was that one was called the Hibiscus. That was a beer I did. It was
okay.
It was hibiscus tea, made of hibiscus tea, and then Soriachi Ace hop in a saison.
Yeah,
which is the only place you can use that hop.
It played very well together. But Mark was out of town when we tapped it at Bodega, and it looked like someone got murdered in the cooler from how red hibiscus tea can actually get. A little bit goes a long way with hibiscus flowers, dried hibiscus flowers.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think the original Endless Patio might have been a saison.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
So any of the saisons that we've done, I like saisons. I think so. When I'm at Rockmill, I always get their petite saison. So
that's a good one.
I think Leisure was good too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
good. Just enough phenolics.
I could see us doing athleisure again. Yeah, that was going to be number two. I think there was a lot of people that gave me some good, really good feedback on that beer. So
people still ask about it. I mean, not like it's been gone for that long, but that's good when people keep asking. I get a lot of questions about that one. So
yeah,
that could be a good one to bring back.
Yeah, I think mid-quarantine, I did a little saison shopping, which is pretty rare for me to go beer shopping, but went on a little saison binge, got some mixed culture saisons, a couple from Jackie O's and Little Fish, and then Saison de Pont had a Asterian Wolf dry hop, real nice from last year. Yeah, good saison, really gets it. My two, and Chris already took one, Franklinton Pub Ale. That's a big one for me. I hope that comes back. I think that's one that kind of from the flavors more or less lends to good beer for cooler weather, but actually it was light enough. I think it'd be a good year-round beer. I like a British classic anyway.
Great food beer.
Yeah, I could see that. My other one is Lemon Glow. It's only been gone a week and I'm ready for it to come back.
That's the way
I feel about that beer.
I really thought you were going to say Bonspiel.
Yeah.
That's what I had in my head.
I like a good porter.
Or I thought you might go, and I can't remember the name, and I really should be able to, but the Beer de Garde that we did.
La Folie de Mars.
Oh, La Folie de Mars. That beer March was Madden super Mars, good. Yeah.
If you will.
And it got better with age. That beer was,
that was good. Was
very good. Mark and I both really liked that beer quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I thought you were going to go with one of those two.
Back in the Belgians.
The Lemon Glow kind of threw me for...
Oh, French Belgian.
That was a beer that the name came before the beer.
Yep.
Because I wanted to make it means March Madness. It,
yes. In yes.
French.
That was a good one. That was a really good beer.
I'm going to go ahead and throw in a third one just because.
Okay.
Because I can do that.
Because I can.
Steve Z. Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's
that, a good one. So anyone that knows me knows that I love my light beers and lighter flavors and malty beers and everything. I like my hops too, but that's my bread and butter. And Steve Z was one of my favorite beers, just a Vienna lager.
I thought Steve Z was a Helles.
It was a Helles, wasn't it?
No? Yeah, you're right. It was a Helles.
It was a Helles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was close.
Still delicious.
Yeah. Pretty close. And then, Adam, you were mentioning earlier you didn't want to call this beer Ope because people would call it Ope Stevesi. That was the was the popular mispronunciation. See how I do it?
Yeah.
That's the way you mispronounce something.
Yeah. It's kind of like a lemon drop.
Lemon drop.
Yeah. How do you say that?
Lemon glow.
That's right.
I say lemon glow.
Yeah. Nowadays we're doing that.
Right. Caught that. Caught
bread
that.
Crumbs.
Moonraker.
I love your breadcrumbs. No. It's beard crumbs.
Yeah.
Remember the bartenders used to have like a running list of all the botched names.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite is always son of a murderer.
Son of a murderer. That, yeah.
Whoa, easy there, killer.
No.
Literally.
Well, cool. All right. Well, I think we've gone around the table about three times, maybe four on this. That's good, Jeff.
Sorry, Jeff. Hold on, I got another one. I got
another. But wait.
Let me look at the portfolio.
We want to make sure Jeff has a good answer. I mean, we're providing him with as much data as we can. Enjoy your run this morning.
Yeah.
And
I think next week we're talking about...
Del Boca Vista.
Del Boca Vista.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Or as I've been saying, Boca Del Vista.
Well,
it's
very difficult to pronounce as we showed on our Frank Costanza Jerry Stiller episode.
Yep. Tribute to Jerry Stiller. Yep. He, it's hilarious.
So, yeah, coconut cream ale.
That one is definitely.
Oh, it's a crusher.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see what the crushability scale is. And another beer that we brewed, canned today, Black is Beautiful. The brewery out of San Antonio, Texas, Weathered Souls, came up with a cool initiative. We decided to obviously jump in on that. All proceeds will go to Mosaic, Ohio. So that beer will be available end of this week. It's a 10% stout. We tasted it a little bit ago and it's really delicious. So if you're into darker beers, that beer will be available and all the proceeds go to a local organization, which is always great. So if you like stouts, I'd say come down and pick that one up.
Only available through the tap room.
Oh, good call. Only available through the tap room.
Yep. All right. Anything else, Benner? Closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Come on down. Looks like I've been checking my phone. We've sold, I think, over 25% of the tables in the first hour. So
that's great.
If you're listening to this Thursday morning and interested in seeing Jurassic Park, you might want to get on Langrant.app and get yourself a table. Come on out. Even if you got an obstructed view, you're still going to have a good time getting out of the house and watching a summer blockbuster down here. And when you do... When you're getting beer, use that Langrant.app and make sure to tip your bartenders. Thanks for listening, everyone. And cheers.
Cheers.